16. The book of Judges, chapter 16. I'm real anxious to preach this message. This message has been burning my heart now for a number of weeks. I know it's not a very popular message. It's not what people love to hear, especially folk that's not living like they ought to live. Now, it shouldn't bother a person that's dedicated and consecrated and committed to Christ. But my prayer is, and my purpose of preaching this, and I'm sure God's purpose of laying it on my heart, is to help you that are cold and maybe backslid or maybe uncommitted. Sometimes I don't really know what category to put people in. By their actions, by the way they serve God and serve their church. I don't really know. I know that people live on any spiritual level they want to. I know that. If you have a desire to be dedicated, you'll be dedicated. You'll be in church every time the doors is open. If you don't have that desire, nothing that I could say or do would help you. But I'm hoping today that God would use the message to stir you and to help you and to challenge you. I would like to inspire you. I would like to feed you. I would like to preach about heaven, preach you to a point that lift you up to where you just get beside yourself and shout. This is not that kind of a message today. But I feel that it's needful, very, very needful. Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. And I thought about reading the remaining part of the chapter, but I won't do that. But I'll ask you to do it later, not today. Now, when you read my text, I want you to just hold your Bible and look up and listen to me and to what God has to say to you through me, his servant, today. Because it's very important. It's a controversial message. It's not a doctrinal message. It's a Bible message, but it's controversial. Verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now let me say here that he did not leave the Lord. Now many times I've made the statement, and I'm sure you have, or you've heard it made, if you get away from God, the saying is, guess who moved? And we go on to say that God never leaves a person. The person leaves God. But after much prayer and much studying and much meditation, I found that God does leave people. When people begin to live where God cannot condone their way of living, God leaves them. And I remember as I prepared this message today, a message that I preached that God impressed on my soul out of Revelation 10, on the significance of the cloud. A cloud came down, and it was Jesus. And running reference on the cloud, I find that in the old Bible days, Israel had gotten so ungodly, so backslidden, so far away from God, that the cloud left. And that was representing the presence of God. That was a symbol of God's presence. And did you know that cloud never returned until the transfiguration? So God does leave people. He does not condone sin. He never has, and he never will. God will leave people. And it's very sad to think about it, but here it is. Now, this is a story when Israel had gone into sin as a result of their wickedness. They were captured by the Philistines. And they were bound in slavery for about 40 years. and a God-fearing man by the name of Manva, if I pronounce that name right. And his wife had a visit from an angel of God. And for years, all their married life, she had been barren. She could bear no children. And God, through this angel, announced to them that they would give birth to a boy, a man child, a baby. And they gave instructions as to what would be the result of that child and why God was giving this child. His name was Samson. She was to drink no wine, no strong drink. Never a razor was to be put on his head because he was to be a Nazarite. And it went on to say that he would redeem Israel from their captivity of the Philistines, that they had been in captivity all this time. Now there's a few things that I want us to note today about this man, that his birth was foreordained of God. His name was named by God himself. Now I want us to note something about this character as I talk to you today. Why did God leave him? What kind of a man was he? What had he done? What was the problem? Now God has no respect to person. If God will leave Samson, he'll leave you. And the dispensations does not change God, my friend. You might say, oh, this is a different dispensation. I've been told that 100 times, 1,000 times maybe. But does God change his program when the dispensations change? Does God change when we leave Malachi and go to Matthew? Then if he does, we'll take Hebrews 13:8 out of the book. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. Notice Samson's position as a judge of Israel. Oh, yeah, he was a judge. Now, I believe it was Larry Buchanan one Friday night that mentioned about, do you believe God would put a sinful, wretched man to judge Israel? God don't do things like that. God will not take a sinner, a wretched, vile man, and put him in a position of authority with the hand of God upon. God doesn't do that, my friend. Now, for 20 years, Samson had been judge of God's people. Now, you can search the scripture and run reference and search the scripture. You'll find that the men that were judges of God's people in that day were noted for their walk with God. They were dedicated people, close to God. For 2,000 years later, Paul said he was a man of faith. And my text says the Lord departed from him. That makes me shiver. That almost makes my blood chill. I don't know about you, but that's a frightening thing. It's a very dangerous thing to think about a loving God in all of his mercy and all of his love leaving a person. Oh, the Lord couldn't have left Samson if he'd have never been with him, could he? He had to be with him to leave him, didn't he? Now, my text says God left him. I know, as I said previously, it's not a shouting, pleasant message. People shirk from the thought of losing God. And I don't blame them. It's something to disturb us. How the Spirit of God, what about Saul? How the Spirit of God came upon him. How he was head and shoulders above his brethren. He was God-honored. And yet after years and years of his own life had gone, I can see him now, an old man, his face wrinkled, his posture stooped, his step short. Maybe on a walker, maybe on crutches. Old Saul in his olden days, and his hair's gray and the tears roll down his face when he says, God doesn't hear me anymore. God has departed from me. And he will not hear my prayer. Isn't that a sad picture? Samson's in the same predicament now. This great judge. Why did God leave him? The first mistake he made was when he disobeyed his parents. Listen to me, young folk. The very, very moment that you stop honoring your mother and dad, and you stop listening to your parents, and you try to live your own life in your own way, and you begin to ignore your parents, then you're heading for trouble. You mark that down? You're heading for trouble. When you get to the place that you don't need your parents' advice, God's just liable to take them from you. He's liable to kill them and bury them and let you root hog or die and see how important they was when they're laying in a casket, when their body's stiff. And here this young man disobeyed his parents. And when a young boy or girl disobeys his parents, you can put it down. He's just bought a ticket to hell with no return. He's a heading downhill shed. And look at the prodigal son. Down yonder in the hog pen, look at him coming back to the father. It's amazing when you get older that you see how much sense your mom and daddy's got in their old fogey ways. The Bible said if you want to have a long life, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon this earth. Remember now thy creators, Ecclesiastes 12:1. The next thing he did, he married in idolatry. Now you single young folks, listen to this preacher today. I married a lot of people and I've canceled them in that office there. I've canceled them in my home, in their home. And I never cease to be amazed as to what grip and power the love bug can get on people. Now listen to me, hear me, and hear me well. Bless God, everything that shines ain't gold. And everything that's got a smooth tone is not what you think it is. I want you to know right now, you don't change folks after you marry them. And a lot of these young folks say, oh, I know he drinks a little beer, and I know he lays out late, and he cusses a little bit, but we get married, he gonna quit that. You've lost your marbles if you think that. Bless God, if you can't do nothing with him while you're going with him, you are a young man, if you can't do nothing with her while you're going with her, don't you ever expect to change them later. I've never seen one yet changed. Young couples come to me and say, Preacher Bubba, we won't get married. I say, well, how long have you known one another? And I'm amazed again at what a short time they've been dating. 3 months? 4 months? Now say, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you're willing to tie yourself down for the rest of your life with somebody that you only known 3 or 4 months? Yeah, but I love them. They're the love bug. And I've learned this one thing. Love is as blind as a bat. They can't see one thing wrong with them people when they're in love. I say, well, have you learned all of their faults? Do they have any faults? Tell me 2 or 3 of them. And they'll wall them eyes over to him or her, and they'll grin, and it's a big joke then. They can't tell you one fault. But it breaks my heart when 3 months later they come back to me crying and say, Preacher, I'd give anything if I'd have listened. I didn't know he was like he was, or I didn't know she was like she was. And it's a dangerous thing to tie yourself down with somebody that you don't know anything about. Did I ever tell you about this old boy that fell in love with a gal named Susie? Oh, he loved Susie, man. She could roll them eyes and whisper them sweet things and chew on his ear, and he'd cut flips. And you couldn't make her see nothing wrong with Susie to save your... He didn't see a thing wrong with her. But you know what? She jilted him and married another man. And he liked to went crazy. He squalled and he pulled his hair and he had a nervous breakdown. They put him down in the insane asylum. And somebody went to see him. Or they went down there to see somebody and they saw this fella in the hallway pulling their hair, batting their head against the wall and hollering, "Whoa, Susie." This fella said, "Who is that? What's the matter with him?" Said he is going with a girl named Susie. She quit him. She jilted him and married another man. That's his problem. Went on down the hall and saw another fella pulling his hair, batting his head against the wall and hollering, "Oh, Susie." Said, "What's the matter to him?" Said, "That's the one Susie married." So you better know about Susie or Johnny or Jimmy or whoever they are. You better know. The first thing that happened to Samson is when he married into idolatry and got involved with the wrong woman. God help anybody. Anybody that gets yoked up with the wrong woman. God pity that poor old man that will marry one of them painted lips, powdered face, pencil eyebrow, frizzle top, card playing, dancing, society gadding flappers. Can't turn over a flapjack without spreading grease all over the house. Isn't that a sad, sad commentary to be married to somebody like that? That's sad. Pitiful. God pity that man. Now, I'll tell you right now, listen to me. There's another side to the story. God pity and Lord have mercy on that poor old girl to get hooked up with the wrong man, too. God pity that girl that marries that old foul-smelling, bloater-faced, blurry-eyed, red-nosed, whiskey-drinking, spouting, muttering, spitting, jabbering old drunk. That won't work in a pie factory. And the Bible said, if a man won't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel and done denied the faith. It's sad to get messed up with the wrong person. You ought to know what you're doing, young folk. You ought to know about it. Did you know what? That girl that marries that kind of a feller, if I could just bottle up the tears that's been shed in my office right back there by women that married the wrong man since this church had been built, it would be amazing to see how many tears has been shed. And the first mistake that Samson made was when he married the wrong woman. That woman that marries a man like that, gets hooked up with somebody like that, they may walk the street and come to Peace Free Will Baptist Church. They may have a smile on their face. But I've learned in these years of preaching that behind that smile, there's a serious problem. And behind that smile and that problem, there is a skeleton. There's a throbbing heart. And there's a broken heart behind that smile. God help these people that gets tied up with these kind of drinking men, that violates God's laws and breaks his commandment. I'd much rather be an old maid than to get married to somebody like that. The next thing I see that this man done wrong, his life became revengeful. Murder. Retaliation. Seeking revenge. Lying after lustful things. Trying to get even. When a person starts downhill sinfully, spiritually speaking, like Jonah, like the prodigal son, I'm amazed at how everything is greased for that occasion. The devil sees to it that everything's convenient for you. And everything works just right. See, he's the God of this world. He controls the world. Not God, but the world. The world is enmity to God. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Christians have been born out of the world and into the family of God. And we're pilgrims traveling through this world, heading for heaven. One day we'll be lifted out. But this man's turned in the other direction, the wrong direction. Did you know that just plain heedlessness, not heeding to things, that's warnings to our lives, could cause this? This could have caused Samson. In fact, I believe it did, to have been separated from the Lord. The scripture tells us to watch and pray. I think of that joy that a person should have when they're living right. And when that joy is gone, and when they have lost God, they didn't leave God, God left them. Now this scripture said, the Lord was departed from him. In a time that he needed God, as he had so many times before, he'd get up and shake himself, and the power of God would come upon him, and he would defeat the armies in a great, powerful, strong way. But look at him now. Because here he was with the wrong woman, married into idolatry, trying to figure out ways to get back to people that had done him wrong with revenge in his soul. God don't dwell in a temple like that. When he needed God the most, God wasn't there. Listen to me, backslider, sinner, cold-hearted person. You keep playing around with God and rebelling against the truth in the light. There'll come a time you'll need God. It may be in a coronary unit or an intensive care or laying on the side of the highway in an automobile wreck. You'll need God one day. Here Samson needed him. Can you see him now? Philistines were upon him, and this woman crying out, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. They're going to kill you. Samson said, I know what I'll do. I've done it before. I'll call on God. He'll deliver me. But it didn't work. And my text says he didn't know it, but the Lord was departed from him. My Lord, when the divine light leaves the soul, one of the alarm signals that's hung out in the soul of God leaving is protracted spiritual coldness. What I mean by that is, when you lose your desire to go to church on Wednesday night, the devil's after you. When you lose your desire to pray and read your Bible and witness to others, go to Sunday school and go to church, God is gradually leaving you. You're forsaking him. And he'll depart from you and leave you. I want you to get today, it's true that Christian's life is a life of faith. Nobody knows that any better than I do. When we don't feel like shouting, we must travel by faith. When we don't feel like going to church, we must go because it's our duty to God and duty to the church. Solomon said in his wisdom, the last chapter and the last verses of Ecclesiastes, when he lay down to die, he said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. Why? This is the whole duty of man. Old blind Fanny Crosby, under inspiration, penning the words, rescue the perishing. She said, care for the dying. Why? Duty demands it. We have a responsibility. We have a duty, whether we feel like it and don't feel like it. When you don't feel like praying, pray anyhow. You don't want to read your Bible, read it anyhow. You don't want to witness to somebody on your job about Jesus, do it anyhow. You don't want to go to church, go anyhow. You don't want to live with your husband and wife. You want to enjoy the pleasure and you want to divorce them and leave them and run off? Live with them anyhow. It's your duty to do these things. We have a responsibility. A spiritual coldness comes in. That means that Christ is leaving and we should fly to him to have the joy. Jeremiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus said in the book of Matthew 15, These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And we find many things in this. Did you know a person don't backslide overnight? But it's a gradual spiritual coldness. It's like the light vanishing in the day. In the evening, that sun sinks in the west. And as that darkness comes, that light gradually vanishes away. It's not an instantaneous thing. Coldness in the life of a Christian is the same way. God gradually leaves that person and leaves them there in this state and in this condition. Now, did you know this? I've heard this. I don't know how true it is, but I've heard this. And when I was preparing this message, I thought about this. They tell me, now when I say they, I don't even know who I'm talking about. I've just heard it a long time. You can take a bullfrog or a toad frog or whatever it is and put him in a pot of hot water and he'll leap out. I don't blame him. He'll jump out of there. But they tell me that you can put him in a pot of cold or warm water and he'll stay in there. You can set him on an eye and that water and cut the stove on, and that water get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And you can boil that frog. He'll never jump out. Gradually, gradually, gradually. And when I think about that, I think about the way the devil gets some people. He don't get us and throw us into a pot of hot water. He knows we'll jump out. But he'll gradually get us into something that's comfortable. And then he'll put the pressure on. And the pot and the water in the pot will get hotter and hotter and more dangerous and more dangerous. And we'll sit right there and we'll just completely die. And that's the way backsliding is. And the first thing in the world is losing your desire to do that you ought to do. Going to church, praying, reading your Bible. Now we find also that the reason that old Samson got in the mess that he was in, that he was sleeping in this woman's lap. He had his head in her lap asleep. Sleeping is dangerous. Samson lost out while he was asleep. She cut his hair. There wasn't any strength in the hair, but there was strength in the vow that God made with his mama out in the field when the angel came and said, don't ever cut his hair. He'll be a Nazarite. Their custom was long, not Nazarene as Jesus was, but a Nazarite. And they will be custom to long hair. And the vow that was made is where the power was, not in the hair. But when he laid his head in Delilah's lap and she cut his hair and he had told her the secret, then when the Philistines came, she hollered out at him. But God had left him. God wasn't there. Now with these other things that I've mentioned, he was also asleep. Sleeping is very dangerous. When anybody's asleep, they're absolutely helpless. I know a woman that her husband had done her so bad, hatred got in her heart toward him. He came in drunk, went to sleep, was helpless, asleep, not aware of nothing going on around. She wrapped him up in that bed sheet and tied that sheet and took a horse whip and liked to kill that man. Now that would have never happened if he hadn't have went to sleep. Wouldn't he been something laying there letting that woman tie him up and beat him and him awake? He wouldn't have done it. He'd have never had them whiplashes on him had he have been awake. But he went to sleep. And Jesus told the disciples while he went to pray and he came back, they were laying there sleeping. And he said, can't you even stay awake for 1 hour? And we are spiritually asleep. And we're dying gradually. And God is gradually getting away from us. No matter how strong we are, no matter what our capabilities are, no matter how much education we got, no matter what we're capable of doing, when we're asleep, all of that is no good. Next thing is unconsciousness. Unaware of anyone around us when we're asleep. They can laugh at us, mock at us, poke fun at us, talk about us, say anything they want to about us. We're not aware of it. You don't know when you're asleep. You need to stay awake spiritually. Next thing about those asleep, anybody asleep is depending on someone else to look out for them. And there's a lot of cults in this world today. If I'm in my house asleep and it catches on fire, I'm depending on Doris to wake up or my neighbors to call me and say, hey, your house is on fire. I'm asleep. I'm not aware of it. That's dangerous. But I'm speaking in a spiritual sense, in a symbolic spiritual way. It's dangerous for us to spiritually drop asleep and become inactive in God's work. Let God gradually leave us. You know, if you go to sleep in an air terminal, chances are you'll miss your plane. If you go to sleep in a train station, chances are that you'll miss your train. If you go to sleep on Sunday morning or Saturday night, if you sleep on through, you'll miss Sunday school, you'll miss preaching. And then it's very possible that you'll sleep on as Samson did, until you lose God. God will depart from you. Now you might say, preacher, I don't understand this. Did you know Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4? The Bible says, ye are fallen from grace. What does that mean? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, there's one faith, one God, and one baptism. You know, Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1, in the last days some shall depart from the faith. Now, we depart from that. Then as a result of that, God departs from us, as he did Samson here. So it's a very dangerous thing for us to get involved with too many things of the world and leave the spiritual things out of our lives. God departs. Let's read my text again. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now, let me put that in plain, simple language. I don't recommend the Living Bible. I don't think it's a Bible. I think it's just a book. I don't recommend the good news for...